Hello and welcome to the rejuvenated Coin Talk podcast. We were once the podcast of Bitcoin crashes. Now we're perhaps the podcast of Bitcoin hope. I'll be joined shortly by my co-host, Jay Kang. This is all brought to you by Medium. Huge shout out to Medium. They've made the show possible for more than a year. Wouldn't exist without them. Thanks to them. Lots of great writing about crypto on Medium. If you're enjoying it, become a member. $5 a month. Let's hear those tunes.
This episode of Coin Talk was taped Tuesday, May 28th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Bitcoin price index was $8,761.
Jay!
Hello!
Welcome back to the show, but more importantly, welcome back to coining.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm deep in it now. Much deeper than earlier, yeah.
More on that soon. I don't want to blow this for the listeners, but Jay is deep back into coining, and it's not with Bitcoin. More on that later in the program. First, let's talk a little bit about what's happened to the market since we last spoke. It's been a wild ride. Roller Coaster Crypto is back for another season. Pretty much, we talked like 2 weeks ago. Immediately after, it spiked from 8,000 down to briefly like 6,500, rubber banded up to 7,200, retook 8,000. I'm looking right now. We're back in looking at the price of Bitcoin at the top of the show mode. I think we're in the 8,800-ish range.
Yeah, and it's been there for a couple days now.
8,750.
Yeah.
So what happened? We talked about this 2 weeks ago, and I feel like we weirdly have to revisit it again now.
Yeah, so we went through five theories that Reddit users had come up with, which had all been compiled in this site called Markets Insider.
I think that's a Business Insider spinoff.
Is it? Well, that would make sense.
Shouts to the OG Joe Weisenthal for his early guruship to the whole Business Insider team.
So do you want to go through those theories first and just quickly and see how we feel about them? If 2 weeks later, they're more convincing or less convincing than before?
Yeah. And one thing I want to say is that it's a wonderful thing, crypto. Like, unlike sports, like someone has to win in sports. All of the things can come true at once in crypto. We had a crash and a rebound and then another rebound all in this 2 week span. So if you thought the market was going down, you were right. And if you thought the market was going up, you were also right.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first theory was the safe haven theory, which was basically, I think we boiled down to the Trump fear index. How much fear is the world feeling? Are you feeling more or less fear right now than you were 2 weeks ago?
Well, I mean, I would say it's pretty constant. And my fears are actually inversely correlated, I think, with the market. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think Trump is eventually going to crater this thing. But like I said earlier, I think on a show earlier, the real thing that people in the stock market are afraid of is Bernie or Warren winning, right? Like that's worse for them in their opinion. And so I could see, I think, given that Biden is losing a little bit of steam, but also that like there is a pathway now for either Bernie or Warren to win, that maybe some stock people are just like, well, I'm going to like hedge into Bitcoin now that it's easy to buy. I can buy it on all these other platforms. So I'm going to give that like a 2 out of 10 plausibility up from like a 1 out of 10 plausibility. But I don't think it's because of Trump. I really just think it's because people are a little bit worried about the state of the U.S. economy under like not a far leftist, but, you know, against on a very progressive or someone running on equality like that. That's concerning to them. Maybe some of them are starting to hedge right now. What do you think?
Okay, so let's talk about that Warren Sanders ticket. Let's just merge them into a single ticket. I don't know who's the president. I don't know who's the vice president. But let's just say their policies are a possible winner. And I think to the market, they're probably about equally aberrant. Like to the stock investor, bad news either way. Doesn't matter who's the president.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think maybe they're more afraid of Warren because they think she'll actually be able to hammer through policies, whereas they might see Bernie as more of a demagogue who won't actually get anything done. But the one thing I have seen consistently when reading stories about this, and for some reason I read a lot of the stories, mostly because I'm very personally interested in the Warren campaign, is that like the Wall Street people really seem afraid of Warren. And even though she's still in third place right now and pretty far behind Biden, there's no question that just like happened last election cycle, that as things ramp up and these people stay in and they have constituencies, that it's going to force people like Biden, or I don't even want to say like, you know, I guess it's just Biden because we shouldn't say like Beto, you know, or people have no shot.
Let's just say that there's the Yang ticket and then there's the like Warren Sanders ticket.
Yeah, and then there's Biden.
And I'm not particularly like saying that anyone's going to win. The market should be pricing in all of these eventualities in real time.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I'm just saying, that right now it seems almost impossible to believe that someone could run for president on the Democratic ticket without pushing certain income equality things and certain regulations of Wall Street and Silicon Valley ideas through. Like, they're just too popularized right now. And I think that maybe there is some sense of resignation amongst Wall Street to try and hedge out of those markets, given that, you know, we're really only a year and a half away at this point.
Can I ask, are we accidentally reading everything with our Bitcoin maximalist hats on right now? Because there's this weird way we can look at a Trump and say, holy God, this guy's got his finger on the trigger. He's pushing trade wars, all kinds of things everywhere, volatility everywhere. Great for Bitcoin. But then we can also look at a Warren Sanders ticket and say, well, stock traders are going to be fleeing traditional markets. Good for Bitcoin. Like, what eventuality is bad for Bitcoin?
No, I agree. That's why I'm giving it a 2 out of 10. You know?
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't think this really has much to do with it. I am simply putting out the point that, like, if you believe that politics and the future of the markets are spooking investors, that there's two sources of spooking. One is, holy shit, this guy might blow up the world. And the other one is, holy shit, we might have socialism, you know? And that those things, I think, are both scary to investments. And I would say that a small percentage of them might be thinking about rerouting into Bitcoin, although I can't imagine it's a lot.
Jay, do you remember the music of the 1990s?
Oh, yeah, of course. All of it. Every song.
Something happened in the 1990s, which is that CD mastering came in, and everyone just pumped up the volume. It became like a competitive game to just sort of remove the dynamic range of music and fill out the whole spectrum with the throbbing sounds of ska, swing, and so much more. One of the things that it resulted in my opinion, is a certain amount of ear fatigue on the part of listeners, where we just got kind of used to extremely like pumped up music with very little dynamic range, and eventually it doesn't sound loud to you anymore. You like the trick stops working, and now we just are stuck with music that like sounds kind of like tinny and overly full, in my opinion. I feel like that's a bit what's happened with the fear index in the age of Trump. I don't really know what would make me fear more, and I can't imagine any outcome in which I fear less.
I think if he started agitating a little bit more clearly towards a war, although I don't know what else he could do more than like tweet out, Iran, you better watch yourself, or whatever the fuck he tweeted out. But I think if I took him more seriously that he wanted to start a war, because I will say this about Trump, which is that I don't think that he wants to start a war. I don't think he wants to be a wartime president. I think that there's like something in his head where he's just like, this is all funny, and this is all like about my ego, but I'm not going to like get millions of people killed because of this. Do you know what I mean? I think he's kind of holding off on, I mean, like there are certain armed conflicts that the United States could have gotten in already during his presidency. And I think people would argue that, you know, outside of what's happened in Yemen, that somebody like Hillary Clinton, who's a lot more hawkish, would have gotten involved in these situations. I don't think that outside of though of him being like, well, I need to go to war to like win the next election, that I could be more I think you're right. There's no like escalation of my panic.
I feel like Trump's a little like tether FUD. It's like terrifying the first time, very scary the second time. Once you get into the like ninth tether panic, it's not that it's fake. Yeah, Trump is reckless and he could start a war. He's just done it so many times. I can't like go down into my bomb shelter every time Trump starts, you know, saber rattling. And I kind of think markets probably feel a bit the same way. So I'm going to be with you. I'll give it a 3 out of 10.
Okay, that's bullish.
All right, mainstream appeal. And this basically means Fidelity, Ameritrade, E-Trade, et cetera. All the people who are going to let you buy crypto with your easy to use mainstream account. Any change in this one for you?
Well, I've had a life change since we did our last podcast, which
you're,
is
you're that, a coiner.
Yeah, well, the part of the reason why I got back into coinage is because I finally got an email from Robinhood after like over a year of waiting that said that I was eligible to trade cryptocurrencies now, that like my spot in line had come up. And I got to say, like, I really don't like Coinbase. I find their fees to be absurd. I also don't like the idea that, like, you have to buy and then they lock it up and you can't move it for, like, 7 days or something like that. Like, that definitely makes me suspicious.
And does it also bother you that they don't seem to be catering directly to the gambling market?
Well, that's part of it, right? Which is just that, like, if I'm speculating, I kind of want to speculate in the same place where I'm buying like, you know, like monthly puts on fucking Tesla and the other dumb degenerate shit that I do. And so to have crypto on Robinhood is actually kind of amazing. Now, you can't buy that many coins. Like the only really obscure altcoin that you can buy is Dogecoin. But like it's so easy to like sell off an option or to sell off a stock and then buy crypto that it actually has maybe more willing to dabble in crypto because I'm just like, well, I'll just exit out of here like I exit out of everything else. It doesn't quite feel that way in Coinbase because it's a separate thing. You know, like I have to wire money to them. I have to wait for a while to do anything with it. And then I have to withdraw from there right into my bank account. This is a little bit different. It's like, I would say like 50% easier. And that actually has influenced my behavior.
If I'm reading you correctly, you're kind of saying, if I can't just cash my chips out right after I win a bunch of money playing baccarat at a casino, it's not as much fun.
Yeah, but also, like, I don't want to go to another casino to play baccarat. I want to go to the casino that has craps and right. Baccarat, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I buy it. I mean, the side narrative that's connected with me is just, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to hear more people ask about crypto than were asking about it 6 months ago. And I think other people who are involved in crypto feel a similar way. And when you think about if it's even 50% easier than it was during the last bull run, and I think you could argue just with the existing accounts and products like Robinhood, Fidelity, Ameritrade, or whatever, it is easier.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
This is a powder keg. When this next one goes off, it's going to have a bunch more fuel because a bunch of people already have Fidelity accounts.
All right, can I ask you a question, though? Like, when you say when this thing goes off, I mean, it's up like 300% from the Kang line.
Okay.
Like, why is this not like the parabolic moonshot? I mean, it's basically done that, you know?
Can we talk about something there? Because I think you're absolutely right. You've hit the nail on the head. We talk about mania when it's above 10,000. The mania is it going from 3,300 to 10,000.
Yeah, and we're not at 10,000 yet, but we hit 9,000 at some point, or like 8,950, I think. Yeah, I mean, I anecdotally have had the same thing happen where like people in my life, some of whom are responsible adults who didn't get in on the last crypto craze and kind of are FOMOing now, being like, oh, wait, maybe I can be one of the ones who got in early and make money. And then like some straight degenerates I know, they've all asked me about it in the last week, you know? And I don't know if those people are going to be the fuel, if there's enough of them. It certainly is not as much as it was last time, you know? Even when Bitcoin was around 5,000 or 6,000, 7,500, it was like 4 people a day at work, you know? And now it's been like 4 people total.
But imagine we hit 12,000. Like, imagine we really start rolling into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I also think at that point, maybe some people will be afraid that it's already capped out. But I will say that...
You mean smart people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we predicted a while ago that it would take a while for Bitcoin to get rid of the stink, you know, of all these scams and all the crashes. And the only thing I'll say in a bullish sense right now is that it does feel like some of that stink, not all of it, but like, you know, let's say like a 33% of stink is gone, and that people are willing to trust it a little bit more because the price is going up. That said, I think it's extremely fragile and that like any big downward movement is going to wipe all those people out. But right now it seems okay. It's like the type of thing where I kind of wish we had more market manipulation so we wouldn't get like a normal natural retracement.
Well, I think you can be pretty confident that we have a good amount of market manipulation. And if you ask me, Aaron, why are you so bullish? I would be like, I don't know. I just feel like these market manipulators want to see the prices go up.
Yeah.
I'm not like saying this is like real growth. I'm just saying you can kind of feel the vibe in the stadium, even in a fixed match. And I'm like, oh, I think this is fixed in the upward direction.
Yeah, the vibe has changed. Our very, very precise technical analysis term of the vibe. Like, I will say that as vibe experts, I think we both believe that the vibe around crypto is over. All right, do you want to go to the third reason?
All right, the third reason is people leaving alts for Bitcoin. I feel like at this point, I can't really say that people, I mean, alts are very wrecked against Bitcoin, but the minute Bitcoin showed life, alts also like had a little mini run there. I'm not comfortable really saying anything about alts at this point.
The only thing I'm comfortable saying is that I am now once again an altcoiner.
Well, I'll say this about alts. Rather than thinking the story is that people are flowing out of alts into Bitcoin, I think alts are just a riskier bet. And people are like, oh, well, I really think Bitcoin's going up. I don't know what's going on with alts. As soon as alts start showing mania, and alts can show mania in a week easily. Give me like a few double-digit days in a row and then tell me people are making an exodus from altcoins.
Yeah, and I think that the same degenerate and uninformed impulses still exist amongst a lot of people for altcoins, right? Like, so one of the friends who's been asking me a lot about crypto is rather wealthy and has I'll just put it this way, he has a very high risk tolerance. And he, you know, he bought like...
Is this Doug Kim we're talking about?
No, it's not Doug Kim. This person is actually more degenerate than Doug Kim.
We gotta have Doug back on
the show. He bought like an alarming amount of XRP, Ripple, and something called BTT, which is like a derivative coin of Tron. And it was based entirely off some Twitter guy who was saying, oh, I called the last five price movements.
It's a derivative of Tron?
Yeah, it's a derivative of Tron.
You've gone to a level below even where I operate.
I didn't buy any of this stuff. He did. But it was the same thing. It was the same exact story. He was just like, well, this stuff is like 25 cents. Why wouldn't I buy that instead of buying Bitcoin? And I was trying to explain to him. I was just like, well, you should look at the supply. A lot of these small coins are scams. You know, you have to look at the circulating supply and the fixed supply. And he was just like, I don't care. You know, this guy on Twitter is on fire. And it reminded me of us, you know, like a year and a half ago, or maybe us now.
Yeah, well, what has changed? What have we possibly
learned? I don't know. I think we've learned to scold people who do that, but I will tell you that I bought like a considerable amount of XRP after this guy bought it.
Let me make a very simple, easy to understand argument. Do you think there's a good chance that crypto will regain its mania and the Bitcoins will reach new highs?
This year?
No, like let's just say ever. In the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah, sure. There's a chance. Yeah.
Okay. So if you think Bitcoin is going to print a new high and you also think XRP is going to print a new high, XRP is going to go 10x before printing an all-time high, or I don't know, maybe like 8x or 6x or something like that. But it's going to go, you have a lot more ceiling than you do with Bitcoin. So this is exactly how we thought about it when we first start buying.
I know.
We looked at Litecoin. The first thing I ever bought was Litecoin.
Crazy, by the way.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying.
Do you want to buy Litecoin?
Maybe people are that dumb. Maybe everything will happen again. Maybe we are in a loop of dumb market thinking. And if you believe that, which is not super crazy, XRP is very attractive right now.
Yeah, well,
if we're about on the brink of going totally dumb, I would be buying XRP right now.
I did buy XRP, and it's done great over the 3 days that I've had it, or 4 days that I've had it.
Can you explain why you bought it?
Well, yeah. I mean, all right. I mean, this is embarrassing, but the guy who bought all the XRP is also like the luckiest person I've ever met. Like, I have been around gambling long enough to know, or to at least have hammered in my head that, you know, some people are just lucky and you can like mathematically say anything that you want, but like some people are going to run on the hot side of the odds for their entire life. It's just math distribution. And it doesn't mean they're going to do it again, but this guy just keeps doing it. And so me and my friends all bought XRP once he did it, just because we're just like, oh, he's so lucky. Of course it's going to go up. That's it. That was my brilliant investment strategy. I was like,
is it possible that he's, I mean, I don't know anything about his other betting history, so I can't interrogate the fact that he's been lucky in the past. But is it possible also that his bets, even if mockable, are good? Because I would say right now, like, there's a little bit of the, like, the market turns its nose up at things that are stinky, right? So, like, yes, XRP is stinky. Tron, very stinky, right? There's a lot of stink on the market. But is being totally objective in this market maybe being immune to stink? Because if I had no stink nose, I'd look at Ripple right now. Look, I'm holding a big Ethereum bag. Yes, do I believe in Ethereum more than Ripple? I do. But I actually believe in an overall recovery for crypto. And if crypto does overall recover, them stinky bags are going to be worth a lot.
Well, look, I mean, I think you're right, but I don't, like, okay, in this particular instance, it's not that. Like, I told him what I still believe, which is, like, I don't think that buying XRP is a bad bet, you know? I just think you should have better thinking on it. Because he was like,
well, I would just weight that bet with Bitcoin. I mean, that's always my feeling, is that you ought to anchor at least partially to Bitcoin.
Well, he has a lot of Bitcoin, but, too. But like the, but his.
But this guy clearly knows way more about betting than I do. That's how he got all this Bitcoin that he's betting.
His XRP bet is essentially based on like some random guy with 4,000 Twitter followers in Australia. Who like records these weird videos of himself being like, I have called the last 5 price spikes. And then, you know, he's like on the minute chart in TA, you know, like the most granular chart, being like, okay, there's accumulation here. In the next 15 minutes, we're going to see the moon. And then it doesn't happen. Then he's like, I need 10 more minutes. And all I've said to my friend is like, listen, like, I don't care what you do with your money, but this is literally the most pathetic thing that you could be buying into, you know?
Aren't we just the respectable version of that, like with ledger status?
Aaron, I bought XRP because I thought this guy was lucky. It's not like I'm like giving myself a pass here, you know. It's not like there isn't a single thing that I've done that's less degenerate than what he's done, except, you know, like the amounts that we've invested. And I don't think that buying something like, you know, the derivative of Tron, maybe it's a good idea. Like Tron went crazy for a long fucking time, you know, while we were all poo-pooing it. It went nuts. Like that's nothing to really sneeze at. Like if all you really want is to take like, let's say $50,000 and turn it into like $500,000, you might as well buy like fucking XRP and some like shit coins that other people might FOMO into, as long as you have an exit plan, you know? And so, no, I don't, I generally agree with you that our pretensions and our prejudices and our snobbiness is probably to our detriment.
Can I put forward a Bitcoin or a crypto investment thesis for going forward? If you believe that crypto is basically all a giant scam, which I would say both of us at least somewhat believe, you perhaps more than me.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you also believe crypto is going to succeed and that the people who play the game best will be successful. Wouldn't you basically use the founder's hypothesis, which is invest in the person, not the idea, and just seek out the biggest scammers and the most successful crypto scammers and invest in them? Like, that's the bull case for Ripple. That's the bull case for Tron, is that they're basically pure marketing and that they're run by, like, scammy marketing masters who are good at planting stories and making phony partnerships and acquiring other companies to grow them, like BitTorrent.
Yeah, and also, like, maybe market manipulation. The one that he bought was the BitTorrent coin, BTT.
Market manipulation's a big part of that. Here's another one, Binance coin. It's basically just a bet on, like, CZ's crazy cult of personality and marketing skill.
Yeah, and maybe his ability to, like, be the, you know, like, singular exchange out there, which I don't think is a crazy thing.
It's like, remember I had my money laundering index where you're getting exposure to, like, Monero and Zcash, but less Zcash, really the ones that people are actually using? It would be like if we made a pure internet marketing index, and it was coins that are basically have no function other than for a hype man to hype them.
Yeah, exactly.
And to use the money they got from one hype to buy other companies, which, like, I know that sounds crazy, but I was just, like, reading a profile of Mark Benioff, who owns Salesforce. That's basically Salesforce's game plan. They just keep getting more and more money and buying other business software and incorporating it. And, like, the company itself on some level is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even, all I know about Salesforce is that it's big. I don't know a single thing that they do.
Okay. Should we get to our final hypotheses yep. here? We've been getting nicely down the rabbit hole there, I feel like. Good job, us. The Bitfinex scandal drove Bitcoin purchases. Let me say this, that Bitfinex scandal didn't have legs.
Yeah, it seems like it's already over until the trial stuff begins, right? So I'm going to give that a big zero.
I do feel like there's a growing sentiment that New York City is going to prosecute crypto, which as a New York City resident, I don't really appreciate that much.
Well, yeah.
Although on the plus side, it could help our ability to get interviews with the defendants and prosecutors. So I'll give that one 3 out of 10.
Angry crypto guys who, like, are yelling about the state. Like, I think we've had enough of those on. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about, or let's just continue a conversation that we were having, because I thought it was interesting about the altcoin market and, like, if we have started another cycle of dumb money coming into crypto. And I want to lay out, like, I don't believe this hypothesis necessarily, but I don't disbelieve it. But I just want to lay it out and I want you to respond to it, okay?
Okay.
Which is that by the time that a lot of people started hearing about crypto every single day in 2016, right? Mm-hmm. That the price of Bitcoin was already over $10,000, that it already had these parabolic moves, and that some people, because the price was so high and because they were getting so many warnings, did not buy in. And those people did know about Bitcoin. They did know what had happened. They might not have condemned it in the same way. And that now that the price of Bitcoin is under $10,000, which I think is a huge mental block, right? Like those round numbers do matter in terms of people's psychology.
Hugely.
That
hugely.
They feel like, look, if I want to double my money, maybe this whole scam thing is going to happen again and I want to get in early. And not just that, like, they do the same thing that everybody else does, which is they start with Bitcoin and then they get bored. And then they start moving over to other things that they see are going crazy when they're, like, you know, reading through Twitter and stuff. They get hooked in and they're like, holy shit, this BTT thing, which is, you know, the BitTorrent coin. I know what BitTorrent is. You know, this thing is like fractions of a cent. Why don't I buy like 2 million of these coins and just hope it goes to $5 and then I'll be a rich person and I'll have cash in on the second crypto boom. In addition to that, you know, like, maybe there is some narrative out there thinking like, well, now that these big companies are involved, this is like Web 2.0, you know, like, this is not like the first dot-com boom and bust, but this is like the building of shit like Google, and I should get in on the ground floor there. And that maybe all that psychology put together has a lot to do with the retail investor that is interested in crypto right now. What do you think?
Well, we've always tried to go dumb on this show and give people none of the benefit of the doubt and assume that they're being stupid. And for the most part, I think we have concluded that most crypto buyers are either giant whale level macro market manipulators. And those are the people, let's be honest, who made most of the money. And I include the exchanges with those because the exchanges themselves are macro market manipulators. And then these like dumb kind of kid trader gamblers, which I think are a much smaller portion of the puzzle, but are probably the people who drive altcoin trading for the most part, I think. Like, I don't think that many people are actually that interested in altcoin trading. I think there is a certain kind of big money that doesn't ever really get past, say, an Ethereum or a Litecoin, you know?
Well, are you sure about that? Because the reason why things were limited to that at the beginning was because Coinbase had such a monopoly on new users, and that was all they offered. But now they like, okay, it's not even that they offer all these coins, but they at least let you see the listings of all these other shit coins.
Well, so now I want to talk about what's different this time. So I don't assume that a new crypto buyer has like actually analyzed the whole last crypto mania and crash. They probably just know a little bit about it, right? They know that crypto was really high and then it crashed. And maybe they know that there was some funny business and there was some feeling that the market was manipulated and they heard about some scandals. Who knows what they know? Now, assuming that they're basically like us, they come to Coinbase, they come to Gemini, they maybe use the Cash App, and they probably first buy Bitcoin. Bitcoin probably, if this is really the market wave we're talking about, is going to stall out a bit here, maybe kind of hover around close to 10,000. And assuming that this happens again, we're going to start seeing some of these alts go off. I would assume that the new set of alts is going to be what's available at Robinhood, Coinbase, et cetera. So the biggest gains from here are probably the coins that were not included in the original set when we were on Coinbase, but are now.
Sure. So what would that be? Like BAT, BAT?
Yeah, Stellar.
XRP.
Yeah.
Stellar.
I mean, it's kind of the usual suspects, but I think if we really see... If we assume that history is just going to repeat, what I would expect is that within that elite prestige alts coin pool, some different things are going to shoot out than last time.
I guess, yeah,
so like
sure.
Right now, Monero is actually trading above Zcash, but Monero is not on any of these exchanges.
Yeah, that's true.
I have no idea why.
Well, they all banned Monero, if you remember.
For the most part, yeah. I don't know where people are getting all this Monero. Well, come buy mine.
Maybe it's actually being used. I find that compelling, like in a narrative sense, but let's remember that there was a day where the founder of Ripple was the richest man in the world on paper. So it's not like Ripple didn't go crazy. You know, it definitely went crazy. Now, like I'm actually curious about this because I do think that one of the things that was a product of the last bull run, which will have some sort of effect, is A, I think there's probably less market manipulation now than there was back then, mostly because like all these exchanges had to really, they all basically just got fucking subpoenaed or they got, you know, put under investigation and it's going to be harder for them to do the same things that they did last time. And I think, so that's like a huge chunk of it. But I think there's also a smaller chunk of it where I do think that like the amount of money that people are going to put in as opposed to what they did before where like, you know, even you and I probably put in an irresponsible amount of money into crypto. I think that people are going to be a little bit more risk sensitive than they were before because the gospel is no longer like, you know, John McAfee saying this is going to go to $1 million. It's no longer right, like, you know, we're going to have a whole new system of money. It's going to be the new internet. It's really now like, hey, this is an investment tool. And also maybe it's a small portion of like a brand new type of economy and a brand new type of technology. And that's less of a, I think that's less of a draw than what we saw before, which was just like people basically turning their entire lives over to crypto. I don't know. Does that sound compelling to you? Because I'm actually not even sure if I believe that.
Jay, you remind me of like a veteran of a war, you know, comes back. You did a little time in Europe in the 40s, fighting on the Allied side. And you come home and you're like, man, war was just horrific. But I feel better in that, you know, future generations kind of learned our lesson about this. And, you know, they have movie cameras now. So people are going to see that this is truly just horrific. And they'll never want to go to war again.
Well, there hasn't been a World War III yet.
No, but we haven't really learned our lesson about war as a whole. Like, I think we're still... I think that each generation thinks that they are smarter or more modern and then gets dragged into the same cycles. And I just think crypto hasn't gotten any smarter. You're smarter because you were around for the last run. But if this is a mania, it's going to be fueled, I think, mostly by people who weren't around. We're old.
That is true. That is true. My friend who wasn't around for the last crypto one is acting so stupid that I want to, like, throttle him.
We're scarred.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay, we're at the VFW hall with like pints in our hands, being like, these young bucks, they don't know nothing.
It definitely is limiting our earning potential, I think, or else I think I would just be FOMOing into shit coins right now as opposed to just buying XRP.
So does that mean your entire crypto portfolio is 100% XRP?
Right now, yeah. Mostly just because I did it for fun.
How would you feel if Bitcoin goes buck wild right now and Ripple crashes?
I'd feel bad. I'd feel great. Like, what do you want the answer to be?
No, I'm just surprised. For most of the time we've been in crypto, we've been kind of collectively hedged against the crypto market as the whole, basically. Not against the crypto market, with the
I'm
crypto
like
market as a whole.
Much less afraid of Bitcoin taking off and my BTC value getting wrecked than everything crashing again. So let's say that first, right? Like, that's like the least of my concerns.
I'll say I'm just obsessed with my Bitcoin value right now, where I'm like, even when Bitcoin was going up, my Bitcoin value was going down and I was kind of bummed.
Okay, so you bought a bunch of Ethereum?
I bought Ethereum the whole way down, and I've experienced a little bit of Ethereum relief since then. But for my entire buy to bear out the trade, I need a lot more Ethereum recovery. Like, it would need to be at like 500 now.
For you to be even
selling it.
Yeah.
Oh, not to be... To be like a successful trade against Bitcoin, somewhere around.
So it'd have to 2x.
400. Yeah. I mean, if any of this stuff comes back, like, I'm just overall extremely Bitcoin wrecked. My portfolio has come back a lot from the bottom, and I'm happy about that. But, you know, that's the danger of being, I'm about 60-40 Bitcoin versus everything else. As everything else has gotten wrecked to Bitcoin. Just about everything's gotten wrecked to Bitcoin.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the prices right now, and it does dawn on me that, like, if we had bought Bitcoin, like, this is the exercise we always do, that if we had bought Bitcoin when we first got into it, when the price is around, like, $25 to $3,500, and we had just kept it the whole time, that we would be, like, doing really well.
We would be hovering around 3X. Yeah. We would have never been as wrecked as we were.
And then, like, the lessons that you and I have talked about now on multiple episodes, dozens of episodes for the past year and a half, like, didn't apply at all. I just, like, went straight into XRP.
We act like crypto is torture, but it's actually trading that's torture.
This is so stupid. What am I doing?
Bitcoin is pretty easy. If you bought it at any time except at the very top and just held it, even if you bought at Bitcoin 8,000 on the way up and just held on, you're doing fine right now. It's only us who are idiots.
All right, you know what? Fuck it. I'm selling my XRP right now on the air.
To buy Bitcoin, you mean?
No, I'm going to like roll it into some Tesla short or something like that.
Very responsible. It's very... Speaking of crypto like drugs.
Yeah, Tesla shorts are like by far the most fun thing to work. Actually, I can't do it because I can't sign into Coinbase. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about? We're at like the 40-minute mark.
Yeah, I think that like covered most of the stuff I was interested in. Going forward, how will you manage that XRP bet? You're just going to sell it right now? Or do you have like a specific price target?
Okay, can I tell you the real problem is that like all the people who are in my degenerate gambling group chat, like they're all in XRP too.
Yeah.
Just because the NBA Finals is in a lull and because like there's nothing to really bet on, especially come the summer, there's going to be even less to bet on. Like we've just been talking about crypto in the most degenerate ways possible. And I kind of don't want to miss out on that if it goes crazy. Like if it goes to like 90 cents, I'm going to be so mad.
I'm going to say that the bullishness from within your group makes me bullish because those are the kind of people I know if Ripple doubles right now are not going to immediately dump. They're like going to hold on and try and get a crazy return. And I do think a Ripple mania could result in the extremely cheap Ripple that's available right now, even in major apps. We will have to
see. Are you going to buy Ripple?
I might buy a little Ripple. I got a little out of my Cardano position. I think I might go from Cardano to Ripple. If that's an atomic swap possible on Atomic Wallet, I might be picking up a little bit of Ripple with my Cardano.
Do it so that we can like have this thread going through the podcast where we are now Ripple maximalists. Like I think that would be a good heel turn for us.
Well, just like you FOMO'd out into Ripple this week, I'm sorry, XRP. I don't want to mix those up. I FOMO'd a little bit into being like, should I put a little of this crypto on the NBA playoffs? Because I actually think that there's some kind of juicy bets in this Warriors-Raptors matchup.
What'd you bet?
Well, I have not actually bet. I wanted to run them by.
Okay.
So I think the Warriors are going to win. But I don't really like Warriors to win at like minus
like minus 280,
It's just like I'm not too super interested in that. I also think Durant will never play as a Warrior.
Is that a bet?
That's unfortunately not a bet. So I'm like, how can I form a bet out of that hypothesis? One of the ways would be to bet Curry and Klay for Finals MVP.
What are the odds for each one?
Well, I like Klay a lot at 14-1. Especially if it somehow is a short series, you get like a couple Klay games in.
Yeah, it's just hard to. It's a little bit hard for me to see what would happen. Like, he would have to average like 30 points a game for the series and somehow, like, you know, like guard Kawhi or something like that.
Or Curry would have to have a somewhat mundane series by his own standards. But they still beat the Raptors, which I actually could believe happened.
Yeah.
Now, Curry is minus 140 for Finals MVP.
He's
never won before. You'd think that they're probably going to give it to him in any kind of a victory since he's never won before.
Yeah, I don't know about that because I think that at that point, you might as well just grab the minus, like the series win bet, right? Because you're taking out a lot of, or just bet the Warriors to win every game on the money line or something like that because, well, I don't think you should do that. I actually don't agree with your assessment of the series. I think I'm going to bet on the Raptors to win.
I'm
getting good odds on it. And I also just think that, like, I think that not having Durant is kind of a problem against a team that can actually like completely destroy your half-court offense in the same way that the Toronto did with Milwaukee for four games in a row. And I also just think that like Kawhi really could present a lot of problems for everyone on the Warriors, depending on who he's guarding. And the thing that I really feel the most strong about is I don't really buy this Zen of Draymond thing that's happening right now. And I feel like at some point he's going to implode. And so I don't think that Toronto's, if it was like a 50-50 bet, I'd certainly bet the Warriors. But I don't know. I don't like any of those bets for you, honestly.
So you don't like Draymond for Finals MVP then?
What's the odds on that?
I think
it's like
Draymond
8-1 or something.
No. It's like 20 or 30 to 1.
Oh, really?
It's lower than Colette.
I would pick that. That's a bet I would want.
Yeah, I kind of like that too, because there's kind of a good narrative there.
Yeah.
And like they gave it to Iguodala that time, which was also kind of a narrative finals MVP.
Yeah, so I would bet Clay and Draymond at that point.
And Draymond.
Yeah
that's I would bet Clay, Draymond, and maybe the road games, because I believe they're just going to come out firing it in those two.
They're an underdog in game one, which is weird.
That's what I'm saying. Like to me, I'm a little bit surprised at the relative respect levels here.
Yeah, well, it's like
dogs on the road to the Raptors.
Well, they're dogs on the road in game one of the finals, but they're like a -290 favorite. It's just weird.
They also haven't like lost a game with this lineup yet.
Yeah, well, that is true. But Toronto's
this is a pretty good lineup. This lineup's had a lot of success.
Toronto also just won 4 games in a row against a much better team than the Portland Trail Blazers. So there's that.
That's
too.
That's true. But didn't Kawhi look kind of like fucked up to you towards the end of that series?
Well, he had like 18 rebounds in game 7, so it's...
I know, but like his body was going through things that a human body should avoid.
Yeah, I don't know if using the human body metric is a good way to think about Kawhi. But I would, yeah, those are the bets I would do. I think I would bet those two MVPs and maybe not even bet the series and just bet those two and hope they hit because they're both pretty good payouts.
Well, this series will still be running when we tape next week, so I'm going to pick up some Ripple, and maybe we can make one of our classic Ripple on Ripple.
Yeah, one Ripple.
All right, talk to you later.
This episode of Coin Talk was taped Tuesday, May 28th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Bitcoin price index was $8,761.
That was Coin Talk. Our editor is James Nicholson. My co-host is Jay Kang. I'm Aaron Lammer. You can send us a tip. Tippin, T-I-P-P-I-N @CoinTalkShow. Yes, we take lightning tips. Yes, we will read your message on the air next episode if you send it in. You can also send us an email, hi@cointalk.show. All of our episodes are at medium.com/cointalk.